Thank you.
They are awesome. Man. There, notes. Notes, Bible, posters, alarm set. When the alarm goes off, we'll start to land the plane. God is so good. God is so good. I'm Dick Gruber. I felt a call to ministry and came to North Central. And then in a missions chapel service in this room, Owen Carr spoke, and he talked about the city as his mission field. I went to our apartment house, went down to the boiler room and prayed, God, if the city is Owen Carr's mission field, what is mine? And I heard the voice of God say, your field is the field of children. And I've been dedicated to the next gen, to the children, ever since. That's it. 2 weeks later, I was contacted by a pastor in Farmington, Minnesota, Jerry Strandquist, and I became a children's pastor. And I've been serving kids ever since. God has been good to me because he put me in a mission field that is literally booming. You know? Kids are the most reachable yet unreached mission field on planet Earth. Most reachable yet unreached. Okay, let's see my family. I brought a picture of my family because I'm a family guy. There you go. That's Darlene with me over here. I love this lady. She's in the front row. And then we have four children who are married and have children, and three of the four are in full-time ministry, and the other one is a music teacher in Des Moines, Iowa area, and leads worship at her little vineyard church, and they're all serving Jesus, and they're all loving Jesus, and I tell you that now because my first and best mission field is on the screen behind me. If I couldn't win them to Jesus, what am I doing? What am I doing? It wasn't always easy, but God helped us. All right, we're going to talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to stand up here and talk about children's ministry the whole time. I was praying, and I said, God, what do you want me to share with students here when I come today? And I just have to ask a question. How many of you have been baptized in God's Holy Spirit with the initial physical evidence of speaking in other tongues? Raise your hand. Okay, so some people have, some people haven't. Okay, how many aren't quite sure that tongues is the thing? It's okay, you can raise your hand. Thanks. Thanks, a couple of honest people. I'm here today to tell you that you can be filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy in the Holy Spirit. The scripture, let's look at this Bible verse in Acts 13:52. That would be on page 979 if you have the same Bible I have. Acts 13:52. It says this, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, help. I hide behind you. Use me. Open our hearts to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In Acts 13, we find that Paul and Barnabas have been preaching the gospel. The Gentiles have received, the Jews not so much. It actually says that the Jewish leaders incited devout women and leading men to persecute Paul and Barnabas. As they left town, shaking the dust off their feet, Scripture says, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. They've just been run out of town, and they're filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. You've just had a horrible week, and you can be filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. You've just failed a test that you thought you would ace. You can be filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter what's going on in this life. You can be filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Yes. Now, I'm a little tired of grumpy old Christians. I'm a little tired of those Christians that come into church Sunday morning looking like they hate everybody under the age of 30. Listen, we're supposed to be filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Here's my story. That's not Napoleon Dynamite, that's me. That's Darlene. That shot right there is my wife Darlene and I in Farmington, Minnesota in 1979. That's our first ministry, like, promo shot. And there was no internet. There was no place to put it. It sat in a file, and now it's on the screen in front of you. Here's what happened to us. We were high school sweethearts. As a senior in high school, well, okay, you want to really get awe? I like your red shoes, by the way. Here's a real awe. She asked me out when we were sophomores. We've been dating ever since. And January 19th, 1975, I asked my older brother if I could go to a Bible study with him. He said yes. I went to a Bible study in a home in South Omaha, Nebraska. When the Christians were all done studying the Bible, they closed their Bibles. They started hugging each other and singing songs with guitars. That was me. My hair was bigger then. I was skinnier. I looked like a toilet brush. I was hungry. I went in the kitchen to raid the refrigerator of a total stranger. When I stepped through the door of the kitchen, I was overcome by the power of God. I knew I needed Jesus. I began to weep profusely. I said, Jesus, save me, forgive me, come into my life. I made a mess of things, and I felt his presence for the first time in my life. I had attended church every Sunday. I was a good Catholic kid. I was an altar boy. I did all those things I was supposed to do, but I never felt the presence of God until I was standing in that kitchen, and I knew Jesus had just saved me. This old grandmother walked in. She put her hand up on my shoulder. She was very short. She said, don't be afraid, just raise your hands and praise the Lord. So I raised my hands and I said, praise the Lord, because I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I started praying in tongues. I didn't even know what it was. Nobody had indoctrinated me. I had not taken the Foundations of Faith course. I had not gone to Growth Track. I had no idea what was just happening to me. I just knew it was good. I prayed all night because I was afraid if I stopped praying in tongues, I would never start again. So I just prayed all night. Finally, I had to have conversation with my mom and my brothers in the morning, and I figured out that it didn't work that way. I could still pray in tongues even after I talked to them, so that was good. I grabbed the biggest Bible in the house and I carried it to my high school. This is Monday. The choir teacher in my public high school called me into his office and said, what happened to you? And I tried to tell him without praying in tongues. It didn't work. He said, praise God, I've been praying for you for the past 2 years. He pulled the Bible out of his desk drawer and he showed me in the book of Acts what had happened to me, and that was my first lesson on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He let me start a Bible study that Wednesday in my high school. We won 40 kids plus to Jesus between the end of January and graduation in June in that high school choir room. It became a sanctuary. That's what happened to me. I went to the Assembly of God Church in Omaha and discovered that they believed the same thing I did, that you could be saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you would speak with other tongues as the Spirit helped you, and you would be empowered for ministry, and you'd be able to share the gospel with people, and they'd say yes. And some would say no. That's okay. So, I don't consider this to be an AG thing. I consider it to be a Jesus thing. He knew me, and he knew I would need power to live for him, power to stomp on the devil's face, power to say no to sin, power to pray with more effectiveness, power to understand his word. I just quoted a JBQ answer to you. Junior Bible quiz for those that aren't initiated. Just so we're on the same page, we call it the baptism in the Holy Spirit because John the Baptist called it that and Jesus called it that. John said this in Matthew 3:11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Then Jesus said this in Acts 1:5, John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is the same Jesus that breathed on his friends and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now he's saying to the same guys, wait here and you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about a new, unique experience separate from salvation. So I've got some people that are going to hold signs for you, and we're going to have some fun today. My sign holders are coming up right now. I'm going to ask my dear wife to hand them out and just make sure that she gets the scary one. Okay, they're in order. So one, two, three, all the way down. Stand in a row with Darlene. She's going to do that. I'm going to start talking while she's handing those out. Chris is holding the sign over there that shows it's a cross. Yeah. It's a cross. And since I was raised Catholic, I'll call it the sign of the cross. It was a Catholic joke. Sorry. They're like dad jokes. Nobody gets them. Okay. Salvation. Everybody say salvation.
Salvation.
And I have a slide that says salvation now that'll be cool to see. It'll come up in a minute. Salvation. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not the same as salvation. Now, before I go any further, Chris, I have to confess something. I sat in this chapel and took notes on a sermon preached by Dr. Don Meyer when he preached five things the Holy Spirit is not. I've taken four of his five things, dumped one of them, added four of my own, and that's where this comes from, okay? It started in notes in this chapel on a day that I didn't think I was going to get anything, and I've been preaching it at kids' camps ever since. So you never know. You never know. Joy in the Holy Spirit, remember, that's what we're talking about. Okay, salvation, not the same as salvation. Say, not the same as?
Salvation.
Not the same as? Separate, unique experience. I've already told you, Jesus breathed on them in John 20:22 and said, receive the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 19, verse 1 through 6, we see the Ephesians. Paul meets them on the road. He asks them if they've received the Holy Spirit. They said, we didn't even know there was one. So he tells them about Jesus. They accept Christ. They get baptized in water. Then he lays hands on them. And it says he placed his hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. A separate, unique experience from salvation. Not the same as? Okay, now we're going to say, it's not just for Bible. Say Bible.
Bible.
Not just for Bible times. Not just for
Bible
times. Not just for
Bible
times. This is Chris. He was one of my students out at Valley Forge a long time ago. Now he helps with the church here in town. I'm proud of him. He's a great guy. It's not just for Bible times. Not just for Bible times. There are people that would teach you that the tongues part is over. The power part is over. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is over. And I would say to those people, get your Bible and rip all the other stuff out of it you don't like. This is not over. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He promised this gift of the Holy Spirit to all who believe. And I think we fit that bill. We believe. So let's not cut the Holy Spirit out of today's church. Because if you do, you cut the power to make a difference in this world. And we certainly need to make a difference in this world. We're going to move on because time is going crazy fast here today. See this one? Say adults. It's not for
adults.
Only. It's not for
adults.
Only. It's not for
adults.
Only. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, this promise is for you and for your children, for those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. God's Holy Spirit is for everybody. There's not a junior Holy Spirit that like sits in a corner in children's church waiting for the puppet show to be done. There's no junior Holy Spirit. I told the kids Sunday, same Holy Spirit that's next door with the adults is right here with us. Same Holy Spirit. By the way, I don't call him the Holy Spirit because I don't call you the Ella. I just say, this is Ella. I don't say, the Ella is here today. No, I say, Ella is here today. See, Holy Spirit wants to empower every believer, no matter how young or old. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Let's go to the next one. This is my favorite. Tongues! Wah, wah. This is Pastor Dan from our church down in Iowa. Tongues. Say tongues.
Tongues.
It's not an experience where
tongues
are optional. It's not an experience where
tongues
are optional. Not experience where
tongues
are optional. We get so hung up on this. Tongues. It is kind of a distinctive of the Assemblies of God that we believe when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will speak with other tongues as the Spirit enables you. And why are people so resistant to this? Here's what I say. If God wants me to use my tongue to glorify Him, yes, I'll do it. If God wants me to jump up and down, yes, I'll do it. If God wants me to go to Guatemala, I never say it right, Guatemala and share with the kids in Cipacate, I'll do it, which I did in January with some people from our church. Guys, gals, if you're saying, why should I use my tongue to glorify God? Maybe the real question is, why not? Why am I hesitant? Why am I taking this one part and saying, I don't think that's for me? I'll take everything God has for me except that one thing. But there's something going on in your mind and your spirit that you got to deal with, that you got to say, God, where's the hole in my boat? Help me plug it, because I want everything from you. I want every promise from you. I want, if it's tongues, I'll take it. If it's prophecy, I'll take it. If it's healing, I'll take it. Please, please, please. I had a professor right here in this school named J.P. Phillips, incredible man of God. I love the guy. I was a freshman when I took that AG Doctrine and History class that everybody's required to take. Anybody take a class like that? Do you still get that class here? All I know is this. He shared five instances in the book of Acts where people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. In four of the five, we know for sure that they spoke with other tongues. Three of them, it actually says it, and the fourth one's Paul. You know, Saul, Paul, who heard the call and took the fall. But that's not all. Okay. He writes all about it, so if we know he spoke in tongues. And then the other one's the Samaritan revival, and whatever happened when Peter laid hands on them, Simon the sorcerer wanted to buy it. So that could have been. It could have been something else. We don't know. But that's the other one. So he says, four out of five. That's why we believe that that's the initial physical evidence. Good enough for me. Common practice of the early church. Let's go on to the next one. Hi, Nora. How are you? This is Nora, Pastor Dan's daughter, Nora. She's awesome. This one, say scary.
Scary.
Ah! It's not?
Scary.
Ah! It's not scary. Listen, God's not going to do anything scary to you. If you're praying, saying, God, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm not quite sure what's going to happen, please, God's not going to do anything scary to you. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. He is perfect love, and perfect love casts out all fear. And I was at Lake Geneva Bible Camp with kids from my church when I was children's pastor here in Bloomington, Cedar Valley Church, and one of our girls, Stephanie, was sitting right about over here, about the fourth seat back. All of her friends were praying at the altar. I went back and I sat by her and I said, Stephanie, I know you love Jesus. And I know you'd like to be praying down there. Why aren't you praying down there? Here's what she said. I'm afraid if I walk down there, I'll get slain in the spirit and hit my head on the floor. And I said, Stephanie, why don't you go down and lay on the floor and then you won't hit your head? So she did. She went down, she laid down on the floor, God baptized her in the Holy Spirit, and she cried into her ears for like 45 minutes. And a couple summers ago, I helped my son preach kids camp at Lake Geneva, and she was a counselor with her own daughters at camp. And we stood where she sat, And we remember that together. What a blessing. What a blessing. It's not scary. God's not going to, it would be scary if he moved your tongue and you couldn't stop moving it. Like, whoa, that would be scary. It'd be scary if God just like smacked you on the back of the head or something. No, no. You're going to use what you got, right? He's going to use your tongue, your vocal cords, your lungs. Let's go. It's not the end. It says end. Hold it up real high because not seeing it behind the pole. It's not the
end.
It's the beginning. Otherwise, it wouldn't be the Acts of the Apostles. It would be the Acts of what happened to the Apostles just until they received the Holy Spirit and were raptured into heaven that day. And instead, it's the Acts of the Apostles. It's a whole book telling all the wonderful things God did when they were baptized in the Spirit. They went from wimpy, wimpy, wimpy to hefty, hefty, hefty. They became powerful believers because they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts 4:31. You like that one, don't you? And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Yes. The disciples went for more in Acts chapter 4. Acts 4:31. The disciples went for more in Acts chapter 4, and we can too. It's not the end, it's the beginning. Say heaven.
Heaven.
It's not necessary to get you to
heaven.
Some Pentecostal preachers would preach and make it seem as if you weren't baptized in the Spirit, you were going to hell. Like you didn't have it. Like, what's the matter with you? You're less than spiritual. Come on. Jesus would never say that to you. Jesus says, I love you. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's looking at us saying, I love you. I just want you to have everything. In my younger years, we bought cars that didn't have air conditioners. We still got from point A to point B. We still would have driven from Waverly, Iowa, to here in Minneapolis this morning if we didn't have air conditioning. But it's a lot nicer to drive with the air conditioning, isn't it? And listen. If you love Jesus, you're going to heaven. Wouldn't it be nice to have some air conditioning? Wouldn't it be nice to have more?
Come on, let's go and play.
That's my alarm. I have to quit. But we're going to land it in a proper way. Listen, it's not necessary to get you to heaven. But man, if God's going to give me more of him in any way, manner, shape, or form, I'm going to take it on my way to heaven because I want more of Jesus every day. I don't want to be that same guy I was 10 years ago in ministry. I want to be alive and vibrant and acting on behalf of Jesus with the power of the Holy Spirit in my life every single day. And we should all want that. I want to be filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay, and then the last one over here that Darlene has, say natural. It's not.
Natural.
It's not.
Natural.
It's not.
Natural.
It's supernatural. It's supernatural. While Darlene's collecting these, I'll talk about that for a minute. I can't teach you how to speak in tongues. I love what happened in Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. The believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" Just as we have. It's not natural. I can't teach you how to speak in tongues. I would be a fool to try. I've actually read curriculums in children's ministry where it had tongues phonetically spelled out for a puppet to say backstage. No, no, not me. Not today, devil. No. Guys, gals, I come to you today. I graduated from this place in 1981. I'm still in ministry because, one, I have the best wife on planet Earth. And two, I've just been going on the power of the Holy Spirit all this time. I don't know how else to do it. Listen, we still see kids come to Christ on Sunday mornings. We still see kids touched by God, healed, filled with His Holy Spirit to overflowing. Why? Because I'm just going on his power. I can't do it of myself. It's not by works of righteousness which I've done, but according to his mercy he saved me by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And ever since that day when he did that, I've realized the only way I can operate in ministry is to trust him every day to empower me. If I didn't have Holy Spirit, I'd be that grumpy old Christian I described earlier. I'd be a grumpy old man. Kids wouldn't want to be around me. But I pray every morning, God, fill me with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Give me more today, Jesus, more than I had yesterday, more than I had last week. You know why the disciples went for more in Acts chapter 4? Because they needed more. The same guys that got baptized in the Spirit in Acts chapter 2 witnessed in front of the religious leaders in Acts 4, and because of the power of the Holy Spirit, those leaders took note that they had been with Jesus. And then they had a prayer meeting, and they were empowered with the Holy Spirit again, Acts 4:31. Why don't we stand together? I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm not here to tell you how to pray. I'm just here to say, if you want more, get more. You can come down here to get more right now. You can kneel, you can stand, you can pray. You can kneel at your chair to get more. It helps us as human beings to take a physical step to secure something spiritual that's happening in us. It's psychological. It works. Trust me on that one. It helps us if we just take one step even. So if that's even taking a step to the side right now, I'm going to invite you right now to say, do you want more of Jesus? If you've been baptized in the Spirit, come get more. If you haven't, ask God to baptize you in the Spirit. Say, Jesus, I want joy in the Holy Spirit. In Luke 11:13, it says, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Have you asked recently, God, give me more of your Holy Spirit? Let's just take a few moments. We're not going to extend this a long time because I figure some of this you have to process and then maybe in your dorm room. You know, I had a group of girls come back one time at a camp altar, and they said, we got on the elevator and pushed the button, and we all got baptized in the Spirit. They had to leave the altar in order to get baptized in the Spirit. A group of boys at Lake Geneva were making too much noise. The night watchman came and said, what are you guys doing? And they said, well, we were just going to go to sleep, but he started going around and putting his hand on us, and we got baptized in the Spirit. Every kid this boy prayed for got baptized in the Spirit, the whole cabin. They weren't at an altar. They weren't. So it can happen anywhere on this campus. The altar only starts here. It starts here, it goes through the whole campus, goes through your whole life. So do you want more of Jesus? Just take a moment today. Jesus, help us. Take a moment. Jesus, we need more of you. More of your Spirit, more of your power. Fill us with joy and with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, move in our midst. Holy Spirit, fill us, Lord, with more of you. More of you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, fill me with joy in the Holy Spirit. Just ask him that right now. Lord, fill me with joy in the Holy Spirit. Jesus, to overflowing. Let's just praise him together. Say, Jesus, I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've never seen a boy or girl baptized in the Spirit who had their mouth shut. Okay? They all were using their lips, their tongue, their lungs, and then God gave them that language to speak. And so right now, just praise him. Tell him you love him right now. If you've been baptized in the Spirit, you can do that in your prayer language. Go ahead. Jesus, we need you. We love you. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Lord, we give it to you. Be filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Jesus. Hallelujah.